a word of prayer, and we just ask God to bless us and to speak to us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for the rain, which reminds us like the your presence being with us, and it just showers us, and it just makes all things new. So we want to pray, Lord, that you would do that same thing in our soul, Lord, that you would just shower us with your love to clean out all the old stuff and just bring this freshness, this newness of life. Lord, so many of us have been going through a season of struggle, of are dealing with difficulties and discouragements and obstacles. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, you would encourage us. Lord, give us courage to believe you and to follow you. And Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are continuing in our series. We're calling it Wandering Through Life. And this is the third week. And the reason why I kind of chose this title is because I feel like this is one of the things that people in our culture today are experiencing. They're wandering. We're wandering through life. We're just like a generation of wanderers. And I like to kind of compare and contrast those people who are kind of like wandering versus you watch these movies of certain people who are on a quest, right? There's these movies. They're like Lord of the Rings, you know, the Fellowship of the Ring, where you know the nine people are going on this quest. They have this adventure. They have this goal. And this goal is so compelling that they're willing to sacrifice, leave their homes, risk their lives, to do all this stuff because they want to achieve this goal, and they're on this quest. You know, like every movie or every story that is compelling today, like, you know, Harry Potter, there's like this thing that they have this purpose, and it calls them to make sacrifices, and all these, you know, these stories that are very compelling that we like to tell ourselves. And the reason why we read these stories and watch these movies, because deep down inside, we feel like, you know what? My life doesn't have a quest because I'm just kind of wandering through life. And if you compare a wanderer versus a person who is on a quest, like the people who are on a quest, they're very purposeful. And even though they might feel, you know, they might sacrifice and they might you know, hit obstacles, they feel very fulfilled in their work. Even though they're giving their life or they're making sacrifices, deep down inside, they feel fulfilled. They're like, you know, I'm doing something. And the people on a quest are making a difference. Versus, if you compare that to people who are just wandering through life, you know, wanderers are not difference makers. They're just consumers. Like people who are wandering through life, we just sit there and we just kind of consume things. We're dissatisfied. We complain. And we're the critics. Like you notice the most critical people out there who are always criticizing things and dissatisfied, they actually don't add anything to society or to the world. They just sit there and criticize and they're just wandering. And I know for myself, I get stuck in this cycle sometimes where I become a consumer and a critic, and I'm like, what? Am I actually doing something that's purposeful, that makes a difference? And for me, I've had these seasons where I get stuck in this cycle, and I don't know if it starts, or I don't know what starts it, but it you know, depression is in there, dissatisfaction is in there, and I just go in this cycle, and I feel like I don't make any progress. Like you're driving around in this cul-de-sac, and you're driving around, and you're like, hey, I think I've seen this neighborhood before. And you keep on going around, and you think you're making progress, but then you look back like, you know what? I'm still in the same place I was like a year ago. Like I'm still the same dissatisfied, you know, consumer, critical person, and I'm not actually adding to society. So for you, if you relate to that at all, this is one of the things I do. Like the majority of the time when I plan a message, I'm really speaking to myself. Like I think about myself either right now or a period of time where I remember when I, you know, maybe a few years ago when I was in this place. I just kind of remember. So this is very personal to me also. So I hope that it resonates with you. But the question that I want to try to answer in this series is how do we get unstuck? Like, if you're wandering, if you're stuck in this cul-de-sac and you're just in this cycle where you're just surviving and you're not thriving, how do you get unstuck? How do you find your purpose? Okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. The story, actually, one of my favorite stories about Jesus changing someone's life happens in John chapter 5. I'm going to have the verses up here. because I just want to tell the story. I just love this story. John chapter 5 is, you know, it's the beginning of Jesus' ministry where he starts doing miracles. And it says this. It says, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethsaida, which has five roof colonnades." Well, first off, whoever was the architect of this is like a bad planner, because why would you put a pool next to the sheep gate? It's like, that's not a pool I want to go swimming in, right? It's like, ooh, what are all these raisins in these pools? Like, those aren't raisins. I was like, oh my goodness. It's like, that's not a clean pool. So you don't imagine like this, like, you know, pristine, nice pool. It's like, no, this is like a sheep pool where you go, the sheep go and drink their water. And this is like, so it's not a nice place, right? It's not, you know, you can imagine the smells and all this stuff. But around there are these little overhangs, and there's places of shade, that, you know, colonnades with, you know, roofs covering, right? So you could imagine, like, our church in Long Beach, we do a lot of ministry with the homeless, and there's places that we would go, and, you know, we had a food bank, and there's places like Lincoln Park in downtown Long Beach is a place where all the homeless people hang out, and we go there and feed them, and there's, you know, there's just like, this is a spot. This is what I want you to picture, what it looks like, okay? It's not a nice, clean spot, not a beautiful pool or anything, but it's where the sheep come. And it says here, in these, under the roofs, the overhangs, the colonnades, there, it says, lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Okay, so the picture is, there are, around this pool, there are hundreds of people who are, even that word, invalid, right? Invalid. Like they're outcasts of society. They don't belong in society because these particular people have some type of handicap. Some were blind, some were lame, they couldn't walk, and others were paralyzed. And so you got a picture what is going on here. So it is a place that you actually, like, a normal person wouldn't want to go to. Like, this is like, if you walk down like downtown LA, you walk down Skid Row, it's like you need to be purposeful to go down there. You need to know what, like, you don't just wander through this part of town, like San Pedro Street in downtown LA. You don't want to wander through that part, right? Especially at nighttime. So this is what is pictured. All these people are circling there, and the reason why is there was a rumor back then that every once in a while, and like, we don't know if this is true or not, most likely it wasn't true, but there was this rumor that was spreading around among the people, that every once in a while an angel would come and stir up the waters in that pool, and the first person to enter that pool after the angel has stirred up the water gets to be healed. So that's why there's all these people there. And it's one of these things that, like, we don't know if it actually was true or not, but that's why, this is the reason why these people were there. They were hoping to be healed because they heard this rumor. You know, hey, we're waiting. When the angel comes and you see the water stirred up, you're like the first one to jump in. And it's like this picture. You can imagine hundreds of people waiting. They're like, okay, you know. And like, there's like people with leprosy, people who can't walk, people who are, you know, he's blind. He's like, hey, tell me when to jump in. Like, I don't want to be at first. You know, someone's tripping over a guy with leprosy, his arm falls off or something, and you're like, it's like, oh my goodness, what kind of scene is this? You can imagine, you know, someone, you just like throw a rock in there, like, oh, everyone jumps in, and you know, he's like, that'll be kind of a funny YouTube video, right? So that's what's happening. So Jesus comes, and he meets this one man. He says, one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time, right? 38 years. And we don't know exactly what his condition is. A lot of times people, we assume that he's paralyzed, but we don't know because he's just an invalid, and they define invalid as blind, lame, or paralyzed. So he could have been just blind. He could have been lame in some way, like, you know, one of his arms didn't work or something. We don't know exactly what type of handicap he had, but he was suffering for 38 years. Back then, they had this really superstitious, supernatural worldview that believed that if you had some type of handicap, it was because you did something wrong or your mama did something wrong to have you this way. So that's why you are an outcast of society, because God, you know, if you were born with a deformity or something, that means that, you know, God is punishing you or punishing your mom or your dad or your grandparents. So that's why they were called invalids. They were outcasts, right? So these people couldn't work. They didn't have like a quote, like a charity system. They didn't have welfare to have, you know, American with Disabilities Act, you know, type of programs. If you were, if you had a disease, you were considered cursed by God. And if I'm a holy person, I don't want to mess with God cursing you, because I'll be messing with God. So if I help you, God might be cursing me. So I don't want that curse. So a holy person back then would have nothing to do with people who are sick. Or like, it's kind of crazy, right? And so Jesus comes to like turn this all upside down. But this guy, 38 years. Imagine suffering something for 38 years. Like, we have our brother Mike here, who's been suffering with his back condition for, has it been 30 years? 40 years. So Mike used to be a sign. He used to do big signs and other things. And he had an accident and something, I don't know, fell off a truck or something fell on him. And he's had tons and tons of surgery. He's been suffering through this for all these years. And so Mike knows what we're talking about. So 38 years is a long time. And, you know, Mike and I, we've known each other for a while. We've been in our small group and we've prayed many times. And, you know, it's just ups and downs emotionally, dealing with different things. So you can imagine, if you want to know what it feels like to suffer with something, and you pray and you pray and pray and God chooses not to answer, talk to Mike. Our brother's here. He's faithful, right? And so this is a picture. 38 years, okay? 38 years ago, it's 1979. Right? Is that right? 1979? Am I math right? I look Asian, but I'm not good at math. Is that right? Am I right? I don't know. 39? That's 78, okay? The original Star Wars came out in 1977. Wow, that's a long time ago, right? 1979. What happened in 1979, 1970? I don't remember. So it's a long time ago. Who was president? So Carter was president. Jimmy Carter, peanut farmer from Georgia, was president, right? It's crazy. You guys know who Jimmy Carter is? 38 years. So from the Carter administration to today, he's been praying to God, hoping that God would heal him. That's a long time to hold out hope. Because he still showed up every day hoping that today's the day he would be healed. That's a long time to hold up hope, all right? So Jesus appears to this guy. Jesus comes walking. Intentionally, remember, a normal person, especially a holy person, a rabbi, would not enter this area because they're full of invalids, outcasts. He says, when Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he had already been there a long time, he asked him this question. It seems like a really insensitive question. Do you want to be healed? It's like, really? Hey, person who's been waiting here 38 years, do you want to get well? It's like asking a poor person, do you want $100? asking someone who's starving, begging for food, hey, would you like me to buy you lunch? You're like, yes, why do you think I've showed up for 38 years? Of course. And it seems like this insensitive question that he's asking. Like, why does Jesus even ask this question? Do you want to be healed? Why are the hundreds of people waiting around for the water to be stirred up? Don't they all want to be healed? Do they? I mean, Jesus, why? You know, like, this is a dumb question. Why are you asking? It seems like a really insensitive question. But if you think about it a little deeper, it's not a bad question at all. Because he was stuck. And Jesus wanted to make sure he really wanted to get unstuck. And this is the question that I have for you. Many of us are wandering, and we've been struggling with the same thing, whatever, struggling with our relationships, with trying to find our purpose in life, struggling with, you know, like you, some of you have been Christians for a very long time, for 10, 20 years, but you still feel like, you know what, I'm still kind of like an immature baby Christian. I want to grow, and then, or whatever it is, you have this pattern of a negative behavior. You have, you know, you're in debt and you're stuck in all these dead-end jobs, or you go from relationship to relationship. You have this problem, and you're asking, and you say, God, oh, God, God, I wish you would come in and change all this and fix this and give me hope and get me unstuck. But when you're in a problem for a very long time, you kind of get used to your problem. And so for us, like you're saying, Jesus, I want you to give me purpose in my life. Jesus, I want you to mature my faith. I really want that. And Jesus would say, do you really want me to mature your faith? Do you really want me to give you purpose? Because if I come in and do this thing for you, I can't change you and you still stay the same at the same time. Like, if you want to change, then all this is going to change. You know, this community that you have with all these other invalids that you've been coming out for 38 years, if I heal you, you don't have to come down here anymore. You got to find some other friends and hang out some other place. So he was stuck, and when you have a problem for a long time, you kind of get used to it. And there's three different things, and again, I apologize, I don't have sermon notes for fill in the blanks, but this is what I would have put on there, right? If you are in a problem for a long period of time, three things happen to you. Number one, the longer your problem persists, the more discouraged you become. You start to lose hope. And you say, you know what, I'm never going to change. I've been a Christian for 15 years, and I still struggle with X, Y, and Z. I don't know. Maybe this is my lot in life. Maybe I'm not going to grow. You know, you're struggling with this addictive personality thing, like this addictive tendency. You're like, I can't even kick this. It's been so long. I've been trying to get rid of this area of my life. And you just get discouraged. It's like, maybe this is just life. And you start to lose hope. So the longer a problem persists, the more discouraged you become, the more hope you lose. Secondly, the longer a problem persists, the more excuses you come up with for you to stay the same. You come up with more excuses because Jesus asked this guy, do you want to get healed? Do you want to be healed? You want me to heal you? You want to get well? And this guy, you would think he would say, yes, please heal me. But he doesn't. He comes up with an excuse of why he's still where he's at. Like, we do the same thing. He says, the sick man answered Jesus, says, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going in there, you know, I hear the waters stirred and the angel come down. Another one, someone always steps down before me. Woe is me. I've been trying. Jesus, I want to, but I don't know. And he comes with this excuse. He's saying, I want to, but he blames someone else. Someone always comes and takes advantage of me. I wish I could, but my mom, discouraged me, and she said all this stuff about me. I wish I could get out of debt, but my boss, he's such a terrible boss, and he won't give me a raise or whatever. I wish, yes, I want to have this healthy marriage, but you don't know my wife, my husband. Oh, I wish I could do this, and we come up. Do you want to get unstuck in your life? Do you want to find purpose? Jesus is asking us, and instead of saying yes, we come up with an excuse. Do you want to find purpose? Yeah, but you don't know what's going on. And we come up with more and more excuses. Right? Like our excuse, like, man, you know, do you want to get unstuck in your life and just find God? Well, you know, my husband just won't support me. Or I can't get a good job. I can't get out of debt. Well, I tried counseling once and it just didn't work. And we come up with excuses after excuses. And Jesus, he doesn't answer the question, do you want to get healed? Do you want to get better? Do you want to get unstuck? He doesn't say, yes, I want to. He just says, he gives excuses of why he is still stuck. Well, I have no one. And you got to realize we do the same thing because Jesus is asking us if we want to get unstuck, if we want to find purpose, and if we want to find healing, not necessarily physical healing like this guy, but we all need some type of healing in our life, healing from some wrong that someone has done to us, to hurt us, and or whatever. We need to be healed emotionally. We need to be healed socially, relationally. We need healing in our lives. You know, when we're angry at someone or someone's angry at us, or, you know, we need healing And Jesus is like, do you want me to come in and change your life to get you unstuck? And we come up with all these reasons. Right? And the thing is, like, he comes up with these excuses that, you notice, these excuses cast the blame and puts the responsibility on someone else. He's like, oh, I'm a victim because no one wants to help me. And when the angel stirs the water, someone always cuts in line. Right? And he blames other people, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't like own the fact that, like, he doesn't even say, well, you know what? I've been trying. I've been, you know, like, if you can't walk, or maybe you could like roll over. And he doesn't think like, he's like, he's just blaming people. You know, maybe you could like scoot over to the edge of the pool, or like do the worm, you know, like break dance and do the worm or something, like roll over like an egg or something. But he's like, no. He's just blaming other people, and he's not showing his own personal responsibility. Okay? So the longer you deal with this problem, the longer you stay stuck in this wandering mode, you get discouraged, you start to lose hope, you start to make more and more excuses. And thirdly, the longer you stay in your problem, in this cycle of wandering, the more you learn to compensate for your life, for your problems. Right? Like, I grew up in a home of functional alcoholics and drug addicts. Like, how does that happen? Like all over, like everyone in my family drank. My four brothers, they did drugs, but they got better grades than I did. So I was like, man, like, give me some of that. It might help me on my test or something. They got better grades, and they partied and did all that stuff. So when you're in this thing, you just learn how to compensate. You learn how to deal with, like, that's why we have functional alcoholics. Like, you're an alcoholic, but you know how to compensate for it and still hold on the job. You know, you learn how to live in a dysfunctional marriage. You learn how to figure out how to avoid certain circumstances. You learn how to live in poverty and in debt, and you just, like, your problem, you just kind of figure it out. Instead of trying to change it, you learn to compensate. Well, and that's how you, like, this is what this guy did. He just learned to compensate. Well, maybe I won't have purpose, but you know what? Like, I have a community with all these guys, and maybe that's enough for me. And you just kind of learn this ability to compensate. I heard this quote, right? And it's just, it challenges me. It says that you cannot change what you are willing to tolerate in your life. Like, if you're willing to tolerate it, you're not going to change that thing. Like, if you're willing to tolerate a bad marriage, your marriage is not going to improve. If you're willing to tolerate, paying the credit card company 20% to stay in debt and not have money for your kids' college, like, if you're willing to tolerate that, you're never going to change that. You're never, you gotta like say, I'm not going to tolerate this thing. And you know what your biggest, I shouldn't say you, because it's me, okay? It's me too. Our biggest obstacle towards breakthrough, from achieving our breakthrough that God wants us, is the familiar. The familiar things. Like, we've been living in our problems for so long, it's so familiar. You're like, I don't know, it's just life. And just because we just learn to compensate and accept it. And the biggest obstacle from us achieving our breakthrough that God, a few weeks ago I talked about how Jesus came. He says, I came to give you life and life abundantly. And that's on the other side of this obstacle. And we just get used to our own problems. And we just compensate and accept it. So the question is that Jesus asked this person, do you want to get well? He's asking us, do you want to find God's purpose? Do you want to get unstuck? Do you want to find this abundant life? So some observations. Let me go on and finish this story, okay? Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he walked. That's kind of interesting. I want to give you some observations upon what happened to this guy's life, okay? And I think that's what God wants to do in our life. So this guy's life was changed. He was healed. And if you notice, he did not even ask to be healed. Like, God had a plan for his life, and he did not even ask Jesus to heal him. And for many of us, we don't realize that God has a plan for our life, and he has something for us that we don't even need to ask for. We don't even need to know what it is. And you got to realize that Jesus is like, do you want to be healed? And he comes up with all these excuses. I'm like, okay, like, here, just let me just, I got a plan for you because I need you to do some stuff for me. I need you to go and tell the people about what I've done. So, like, I'm just going to heal you. You didn't even ask me. I'm just going to do this thing. So right now, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And for us, you got to realize that God has a plan for you, whether you realize it or not, or whether you are asking for it or not. Secondly, we see that this guy did nothing to deserve his healing. He didn't even speak respectfully to Jesus. Right? He's like, these people, you know, he starts complaining. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't give Jesus anything. He doesn't ask for anything. He did nothing to earn or deserve the miracle that God did in his life. And this gives me so much hope, because God wants to bless us, and he has a plan for us. And we don't have to earn it, and we don't have to pay it back, because he wants to give us something. Like, when you give a gift is give freely, and God wants to give us this gift of life, not just survival life, but thriving life, abundant life. He wants to give us this life, and he's not asking us to earn it first. Because if we had to earn God's blessings, none of us would be blessed. Right? So he did nothing to earn it. He did nothing to deserve to be healed. And if you notice, this life change, this miracle came in a way, through a method that this man did not expect. He expected that one day the water would be stirred and he would roll into the pool, and all of a sudden out comes and he's healed. That was his expectation of how he would be healed. And many of us, we think that God is like, you know what, I want my life to mean something. And if I got that job and that promotion and I got that new car, I would be this fulfilled, purposeful person. Or if I found that right guy or that right girl who would just know me and appreciate and accept me and all this stuff, I'll be so happy and fulfilled. Or if my mom, my dad, they finally see the good in me, if they would only become proud of me or whatever, I would get what, you know, my life, I would just go through this breakthrough. And we expect that, we have this picture that if we get it a certain way, it will fulfill us. But Jesus, God says, you know what? Hey, you want purpose? You want meaning in life? You want direction? You want to get unstuck? I'll do that for you right now, but it's not going to come the way you expect it to come. It's not going to, your healing, your miracle, it's not going to come by that pool. Like, I could just do that right now directly. You want purpose? I'll give you purpose, meaning, and joy right now in your heart. Right now, without your parents saying, you know, being proud of you, without you achieving that level. I'll do that right now. And his miracle came through a method directly from God in a way he did not expect. And I think that's what God wants to do for us. You know, that he wants to give it to us in a way that we don't expect it. Does that make sense? That some of us, we think that our life will be better if God removes our problems. Right? That if God takes away this problem, we'll find fulfillment and joy and satisfaction. And Jesus is like, you know what? How about I just give you meaning, fulfillment, joy, and satisfaction? And you can still keep that problem, but I'll give you what you want. Last insight that I have here is that even though Jesus did the life-changing, the miracle, there was a part that this man needed to play. He needed to, by faith, get up when Jesus asked him to get up, pick up his mat, and walk. Because if he would have just stayed there, and he was like, nah, I'm not going to do that, I'm just going to stay here, he might have been healed, or at least had the potential, the opportunity to be healed, but he would have been laying on his mat, not realizing that God had already prepared to do something. And Jesus did his part, right? It says, at once the man was healed, but the man still had to get up and actually walk out in the fulfillment of that promise of healing. And so right now, God says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly, you know, and this like you can have confidence and joy and satisfaction and boldness and courage in your life. Like, I've given you those things. But we have to believe it's there and actually stand up out of our muck and our mire and pick up our mat and it's like, okay, I'm going to believe this. So Jesus does his part, but there's also a part that we need to play. And this is one of the reasons why I think we get stuck a lot. We don't understand the difference between fault and responsibility. You watch Spider-Man. Uncle Ben tells Spider-Man, "With great power comes great responsibility." Right? I think Uncle Ben got that backwards. It's with great responsibility comes great power. That we got to realize that that if we take responsibility of our part. Let God take responsibility of his part, but we focus on being responsible for our part, what we, God is asking us to do, it comes great power, and it removes us from being a victim. Because most of the time, we talk about people's, like we blame people for their fault. Like, this guy, he's blaming people. It's like, the reason why I'm not healed is because those people, it's their fault, they cut in line. And we cast blame on other people. We say the reason why I'm not fulfilling my purpose or my plan or I'm not satisfied is because this person did something and it's their fault that I'm in this situation. My mom, my dad, my wife, my boss, my whoever, right? They did this and it's their fault that I'm. They knocked me down and it's their fault that I'm on the ground. Okay, that may. Or may not be true. I'm not even going to argue because I know, you know, a lot of people hurt me throughout the years. But it might be their fault, but whose responsibility is it for you to get up? Is it their responsibility for you to get up? It might be your fault that you're down there. I mean, their fault that you're down there. But it is your responsibility to stand back up. Because no one else is going to do that. Even Jesus doesn't pick this guy up. He says, I've healed you, but it's your responsibility to stand up. And we don't realize that we have a responsibility. And we have to be 100% responsible for our part of this thing. Does that make sense? Like, it could be, like, whoever's fault it is. Like, we could blame the devil. We could blame the government. We could blame whatever. It could be their fault, yes. But it is still our responsibility. It is not their responsibility to pick ourselves up. No one else is going to do that. Right? And this guy was blaming people. And he said, it's get up, take up your mat, and walk. Okay? It is your responsibility to get up. With great responsibility comes great power. God wants to bless you. You got to believe this. God wants to bless you more than you know. You need to believe that. He is willing to do his part. Are we willing to do our part? So it goes back to that question again. Now Jesus asked this guy, do you want to get well? Do you want to get unstuck? Do you want to find your purpose? Do you want to thrive in the plan that God sets for you? Do you want that? Do you really want that? Because many of us would say, yeah, kind of. But deep down inside, we actually like sitting. Because where we're sitting, we get to blame other people. And we don't get to risk. And we don't. It's safe. It's secure. We've been in this, you know. Even though it's a mess, our lives are a mess. It's the mess we know and the mess that we made for ourselves, and we're comfortable. And Jesus wants to disrupt us and says, "There's another plan, another path. But do you want me to come and change this? Like, do you really want Jesus? We say we want Jesus to come in and we want to experience all that Jesus has for us. Are you prepared?" Because God can't change you and you still stay the same at the same time. Like, if he changes you, everything changes. So do you want to get well? Do you want to get unstuck? Do you want to find your purpose? So that's the challenge that I have for you today. And my hope is that by faith, you could say to God, this is scary, but Jesus, here's my life. I trust you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for knowing us, knowing what we need, Lord, even before we ask it. Lord, many of us have been struggling with different things, and we don't know. We've been wandering through life. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to get unstuck, to believe in you for what you want to do in our lives. Lord, help us to be dissatisfied with just simply this survival existence. Lord, help us to really ache and yearn for this abundant life that you came to give us, Lord. Lord, some of us here are hurt. We really are. We've been victims, and it's been other people's fault, and they've beaten us up and knocked us down, Lord. But I just pray that you would, right now, that you would come and that you would help us where we're at, heal us, Lord, and encourage us to get back up again, Lord. So I pray for the people here. Some here, I know that this message was just for them, and they're going through a specific situation. I pray that your Spirit would take the truths from the scripture passage and just, Lord, plant it deeply in their hearts, Lord. Just to hold it within them that you are a God that wants to come and bless and change their lives. Lord, we thank you. And we just say we believe in you. We put our trust and our faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.